believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
South from the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America, I'm Darren Weeks here, filling in for Bill Carnes today on 2A Radio. Nice to have you with us here on the 14th of October, 2009. Good to have you with us. I want to get into State Department Publication 7277 from the State Department. The Arms Control and Disarmament Agency was set up to disarm the population. I want to get into some of these documents that we are living today, ladies and gentlemen. Before I do, I have a story here out of the Examiner, and this speaks to the reasons why we need to hold on to our firearms rights. An early morning home invasion in Bexar County, Texas, ended with a home invader shot and his victim unharmed. Police say that shortly after 5 a.m. on Thursday, 24-year-old Cardell Dion Joseph broke into the front door of a home, and the homeowner, whose name has not been released, is said to have shot Joseph once in self-defense, striking him in the ribcage area. Joseph then fled to a nearby vehicle, which he drove a short distance before crashing, according to police. Joseph is said to have been conscious after the crash, but then died shortly thereafter. County records reportedly indicate that Joseph has previously been arrested for drug possession and resisting arrest. The home invasion could have turned out terribly for the victim had he not been armed and ready to defend himself against the home invader. Fortunately, for this home invasion victim was armed for self-defense, and as a result, he didn't suffer at the hands of this violent perpetrator. Unfortunately, listeners, this wasn't the case in the UK. British has disarmed their population. They have a disarmed people over there. And the Daily Mail out of the UK reports that a heavily pregnant woman was raped at gunpoint by a burglar who told her it was her lucky day. The 33-year-old victim was only 2 months away from giving birth when masked raiders burst into her home and held a sawed-off shotgun to her partner's head. She was dragged upstairs by one of the three attackers wearing a balaclava. Despite their desperate pleas of her boyfriend, who begged them not to harm the mother-to-be, she was forced to perform a sex act by the masked man, who threatened to shoot the couple if she didn't follow his orders. Last night, she told of her terrifying ordeal as police offered a £20,000 reward to capture her depraved attackers. Quote, I just wanted to protect my baby, she told the BBC's Crime Watch program. I was absolutely terrified, and being so late in the pregnancy, I didn't want to get into a fight where they might hurt me or hurt the baby. He said it was my lucky day. The victim from North London, who does not want to be identified, has given birth to a healthy child, but she said, of course, the attack devastated her life. Everything you believe to be safe, she says, is no longer safe. You can't walk into the bedroom and feel relaxed because you remember that someone was in there who wasn't supposed to be in there. The sex attack, which is classified as rape, took place on May 14th of last year. The police have only just released the details as the victim was too traumatized to speak out at the time. She was watching television with her 39-year-old boyfriend at 10:30 p.m., when he went to investigate a noise outside the front door of their home in Finsbury Park. I'll continue this on the other side, and we'll get into State Department Publication 7277. We have to take the break. This is 2A Radio. I'm Darren Weeks, filling in for Bill Carnes. We'll be back here in a moment on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, Listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back. This is 2A Radio. I'm Darren Weeks filling in for Bill Carnes today. And before the break, I was telling you a little bit about the situation over in Britain, how they've disarmed the population, and this horrific, horrific story, which could have very easily been prevented had the people been allowed to carry weaponry, defend themselves. And, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to do it here if we allow it to happen. And that's the bottom line. The United Nations Program for Disarmament goes forward. State Department Publication 7277 is a reality, issued in 1961 by the State Department. It was followed up by the Blueprint for the Peace Race the following year, and certainly encapsulated into federal law. United States Code Chapter 35 deals with disarmament issues. And we're going to get into some of that stuff today here on the broadcast, because I think it's important to go back occasionally and revisit some of these documents to understand why the things that are happening today are actually happening. By the way, I am the host of the show Govern America on this network, Republic Broadcasting, every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. That'd be 7 Central. So join us Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. As I continue on here, I was before the break, I was sharing this horrific story of this rape, which took place. It's just a perfect example of why we need our guns here in America. The boyfriend they were boyfriend and girlfriend watching television at 10:30 at night. He heard a noise outside, went out to investigate, and discovered some men wearing scarves and ski masks at the end of the path, tried to shut the door, but they forced their way inside, pushing him to the floor. And I pick it up here with this article in the Daily Mail. It says, an object in a cloth bag thought to be a sawed-off shotgun was held to his head while the gang demanded the keys to the couple's gray Audi TT car. As the pregnant girlfriend was dragged upstairs, he begged them not to harm her, but one of the men hit him with the butt of the gun. He told Crime Watch, I pleaded, I was shouting, she's pregnant, she's pregnant. Leave off her. Tell me what you want. The three men left in the Audi. After grabbing property, including a mobile phone, an iPod, cash, debit cards, and a laptop, police decided to offer the reward after failing to trace the gang. They have been released. They have released images of three men caught on a closed caption television camera at a nearby shop a few minutes before the attack, whom they wish to question. The sex attacker, and they provide descriptions of all three. Police said they're keen to trace the men, if only to eliminate them from the inquiry. Details of the incident were revealed at a time when police are battling a surge in burglaries in London, in particular, gangs who target houses to steal the keys of luxury cars parked outside. Well, I'm going to leave that article there. The point is, ladies and gentlemen, don't ever let anybody tell you that gun control doesn't work. It works great at increasing crime levels. And that's the bottom line. Why would the United Nations, why would the federal government want to take away your firearms rights? The key, ladies and gentlemen, is to make you a victim. Because they don't want people being able to shoot back. And that's the bottom line. There was a study done, a survey conducted by Florida State University criminologists. I want to share this with you. They say the National Self-Defense Survey, as I said, conducted by Florida State University in 1994, indicates that Americans use guns in self-defense 2,500,000 times per year, which is once every 13 seconds, and about 30% of the defensive gun uses. The would-be victim believes that the gun almost certainly or probably saved a life. In more than half of these self-defense gun uses, the would-be victim was under attack by two or more criminals, making a firearm the only viable means of self-defense for most people. The overwhelming majority of these defensive gun uses were never reported by the news media, and gun ownership protects 65 lives for every two lives lost. And there's they cite armed resistance to crime, the prevalence of nature and nature of self-defense with a gun, Gary Kleck and Mark Gertz of the Journal of Criminal Law and Criminology of Northwestern University School of Law, Volume 86, Number 1, of Fall 1995. Anyway, I'm going to leave that there. I just have so many stories here, listeners. There's countless cases, case after case after case after case, of individuals who use firearms on a daily basis to defend their lives, to protect their lives, to protect their property, protect their family. But the United Nations system in Los Angeles, or I'm sorry, I was reading the screen here. United Nations system has been instrumental in disarming populations of people worldwide. I want to go ahead and take a call here because we have a caller from Australia, Kevin in Australia. Kevin, good morning.
Yeah, hi, Darren. Listen, I was on the previous show. I don't really like to occupy the time, but you touched on a point that's a really sore point, and I kind of had to ring in and
yeah.
Have a say.
You I'm know, glad you did.
Never give your guns up. We've had our guns taken off us. Here on the news, quite often, you turn the news on, and you'll see, you know, a lady, 70 years old, 80 years old, somebody will break in, and they'll belt the hell out of it. Her face will be black and blue. You can't even recognize her as a human being. I mean, they put it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
The woman's, she's been raped. She's had a gear stolen. She lives by herself. It's not just once, you know. It happens all the time. Now, the statistics, we haven't had guns, I don't know, if it must be probably, I'm thinking probably 15 years or so, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd have to go back and check. But you know what? The cops now, all the statistics are out. Crime, now that the people haven't got guns, crime has gone through the roof. Now, the crooks have got the guns, and the cops are openly admitting, they admit absolutely that the fact that the people haven't got guns, it has not reduced firearm crime whatsoever. Now, the crooks have got the guns, and the people are being assaulted, and, you know, it is a terrible situation. The cops openly admit now that they were wrong, to take the guns off the people. But you know what they say? They say, oh, well, we don't want you to have the guns anyway.
So what you're saying is we absolutely zero sign of any reversal of policies. Because these policies don't work, they're still going to go full speed ahead.
Removing the guns from the people had absolutely nothing to do with crime or anything. They just didn't want the people to have guns because as they, you know, as the government were ushering in the New World Order, which basically they don't want the people, the citizens of the country, to have guns just in case they shoot back and knock off a politician or two or, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why they don't want you to have the guns, not because of, you know, crime in your neighbourhood, because it was the federal government that introduced the law to remove the guns from the people here. The firearms in Australia are a state thing. So, but in this case, it was the federal government that stuck their nose in it, invented some laws which caused, you know, the firearms to be removed from, you know, from the population.
Yeah.
And, you know, they left us with 22 bolt-action rifles, if that's what you wanted to have. They encouraged us to hand in our rifles. There was a great buyback deal. You know what? This is the funny part about it. I had friends with pieces of old 22s, just junk that could never fire. They'd take them back and they'd fill out the paperwork and they'd say, oh, this is worth, you know, $300, and it was worth nothing. You know,
mm-hmm.
They were getting $300 for just junk. So it cost the government, you know, a huge sum of money to, you know, repossess all these firearms. But you know what? Crime hasn't stopped. So don't you ever let, don't ever be sucked in. Removing guns from people does not remove firearm crime. It's been proven here in Australia. We're the evidence.
Yeah.
And when you turn on TV, you want to see your grandmother's beaten up, give your guns up. If you want to feel safe, if someone breaks into your house and you know, bang, that's it. you're much better off to be safe with your firearms and, you know, take it from me.
Yeah. Well, you can say it better than anybody else can. You can say it better than anybody else can.
My mum, she lives alone. She has a fairly big house. She's quite comfortable. And, you know, I've got four brothers, and sometimes I go and stay with her when I'm, you know, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one that kind of lives far away. But my other brothers rotate. You know, they're married and or you know, got their own lives. They rotate around from night to night, and they try and never leave my mum alone, you know, in the home, because she's scared that somebody would break in and, you know, do to her what you see, you know, other old ladies have to put up with.
Absolutely.
So, you know, never ever give up your guns. That's coming straight from the horse's mouth.
I really appreciate that, Kevin. You've made our point just perfectly. And I'm up against the clock. I want to let you go, but I appreciate the call.
Okay.
God bless you, man. I really appreciate that. Folks, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to let you know where all of this arms control and disarmament stuff comes from. Some of you already know, but we have to go back and revisit some of these documents. Everything makes sense when you understand the founding documents and where all this stuff comes from. We're going to examine Freedom from War, United States Program for General and Complete Disarmament in a Peaceful World. We'll be back. Stay with us.
You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
And we are back. Once again, this is Darren Weeks filling in for Bill Carnes on 2A Radio. By the way, my website is governamerica.com. That's www.governamerica.com. I encourage you to go there. We have a lot of information there, disarmament information, and I'm going to be adding more. A lot of the stuff that I cover here today on the program, I intend to add as well. We have a United Nations military, listeners. State Department Publication 7277 is a reality. As was the Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, and certainly over the years at the State Department, that Bureau of Disarmament has been changed. Bureau of Arms Control is what it was called at one point. I don't even know what it's called now. But the name of the game, ladies and gentlemen, is implementing progressive disarmament for the United States and for the rest of the world. Title 10, United States Code, Section 153, puts our military under the command and control of the United Nations in accordance with the United Nations Charter. The UN Charter says no military will be used save in the common interest. And we're talking about the common interest of all nations. So our military is being progressively disarmed according to 7277 and Blueprint for the Peace Race, which followed the following year. Three phases. And of implementation go forward in this 7277 document and Blueprint for the Peace Race. I want to share with you also, but it's more than just our military. And I want to make that clear, because so many times on these websites of the State Department and the United Nations, they talk about, oh, we're going to obliterate the world with nuclear weapons. We have to do something about nuclear proliferation. But ladies and gentlemen, small arms and light weapons is very much an important part of this disarmament process. I can't stress that enough. On the United Nations website at disarmament.un.org, they talk about small arms and light weapons. I want to share some of this with you. They say small arms and light weapons destabilize regions, spark fuel, and prolong conflicts, obstruct relief programs, undermine peace initiatives, exacerbate human rights abuses, hamper development, and foster a culture of violence. The issue of proliferation of small arms and light weapons was first raised in the United Nations Forum in a 1995 General Assembly resolution. Following that, two expert groups established by the Secretary General issued reports on the subject. multinational cooperation in this area took significant step forward when the United Nations Conference on the Illicit Traffic in Small Arms and Light Weapons in All Its Aspects was held July 9th to the 20th of 2001 at UN headquarters in New York. On that occasion, the participating states agreed to adopt a program of action to prevent, combat, and eradicate the illicit trade in small arms and light weapons in all its aspects. The Program of Action, or POA, includes a number of measures at the national, regional, and global levels in the areas of legislation, destruction of weapons that were confiscated, seized, or collected, as well as international cooperation and assistance to strengthen the ability of states, meaning nations, in identifying and tracing illicit arms and light weapons. Now, we've just had Governor Schwarzenegger in California sign a bill on ammunition. The News 10 in Sacramento talks about how he signed this legislation. The idea is to be able to track and trace ammunition. Listeners, that's all a part, that's all an implementation of the United Nations system to disarm the population. Now, elsewhere on the UN website, they talk about, in this United Nations Conference on Illicit Trade in Small Arms and Light Weapons in All Its Aspects, which was held in New York, July 9th to the 20th of 2001, they talk about what are small arms and light weapons. I'm doing this because I want to demonstrate, illustrate for you the reality that we're not just talking about nuclear disarmament. Because the United Nations, the other side, loves to be able to tell you, well, you know, we don't want all these countries of the world to have to blow us up. So we have to pursue these weaponry. We have to get rid of nuclear proliferation. We're not talking about this stuff, folks. We're talking about small arms. And they define small arms. They say small arms are weapons designed for personal use. Now, listeners, I'm reading directly from the United Nations website. They say small arms are weapons designed for personal use, while light weapons are designed for use by several persons serving as a crew. Examples of small arms include revolvers and self-loading pistols, submachine guns, assault rifles, and light machine guns. Light weapons include heavy machine guns, some types of grenade launchers, portable anti-aircraft and anti-tank guns, and portable launchers of anti-aircraft missile systems. So we see that revolvers, rifles, pistols are included in the weapons that the United Nations considers problematic. Now, we got to take another break here. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into this 7277 a little more in depth. Stay with us, folks. This is 2A Radio. I'm Darren Weeks, filling in for Bill Carnes today here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay with us.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Let's start a something. Here on 2A Radio, Bill Carnes shows Ernest Hancock sitting in for Bill, and I have Eric Cartridge from the Cartridge Family Band. Tell me about the Cartridge Family Band. What do you guys do? I mean, they have a big gun event that just happened a couple of weeks ago in Tucson. Tell me about that event. How you participated in that?
Oh, that was fun. That was the AZCDL banquet. That's Arizona Citizens Defense League. They're a gun owner rights advocate group here in Arizona. They're fairly hardcore. You know, they were pushing good bills like constitutional carry, basically an end to this permit system for concealing your weapon. So, you know, they're pretty good guys. Their heart's in the right place, and they work hard down at the legislature.
But they work down at the legislature!
Well, they're volunteers.
I know. I'm glad you're there.
I know what you're saying. I mean, I'm not sure.
I know a lot of the guys, but
you question the ability of legislative solutions to...
Well, it's not that. It's that, you know, whenever you talk, how come they didn't do it? Well, you know, in the Republican Party, to get this passed, we had to kind of bend on this, and it's the politics and work, and I'm going, you know, once they start that, I just lose all interest, you know? Yeah, I don't want to play.
Well, you know how it works. That's why.
You know exactly how it works.
And what the result's going to be. I guess, one of my pet peeves...
Well, tell me about the event.
The event was fun. It was... 350 people showed up, and tasteful open carry was appreciated, if not pretty much required.
So you had hundreds of guns there.
Everybody was armed, and nobody was hurt.
I know. See, they're all, Ernie, you got to go, man. You got to go. Everybody's, Ernie, you got to go. You got to go. There'll be 350 people armed in one place. It's just a grand. I'm going, so? I go, you got your own banquet, your own contracted thing that you have with your own people, everybody carrying guns. That's not, you know, like a big deal to me. It's when you got the one guy carrying an AR-15, you know, at an Obama rally. That's when you got some nadules.
That's right. I mean, this thing was like, you know, if you had a party at your house for 100 libertarians and you had 75 of them carrying guns, what's the big deal? You know, ooh, we're going to carry our guns at Ernie's house. Wow, that takes guts. You know.
So yeah, what'd you guys do?
We sang a bunch of songs. We have a bunch of gun rights, type of songs. And we did Little Armed Lady from Pasadena. And
She wore a Glock 17.
Yeah, we did that one. We did that one, too. Yeah, so, you know, it's fun. We're kind of the entertainment branch of the Second Amendment movement.
Well, you know, it's there's three of you. And go ahead and introduce each one, you know, who you guys are.
There's Alan... 22 caliber short cartridge, otherwise known as Alan Corwin, the author of all the gun law books, the gun law expert guy. And we have our third member is Bob 50 BMG cartridge. he's our lead singer. So,
And what are you?
I'm Eric 44 Magnum cartridge.
Oh, 44 Magnum. There you go. Yeah, okay. Right. You know, and we've been having fun doing this activism because if you're not having fun, you're doing it wrong. If you can't enjoy yourself, you got the wrong attitude. I mean, you're just, you know, it's because they're always going to, you know, have the law enforcement guy, the enforcer, is going to come up and chest button kind of you will comply or die kind of. You got to pick your battles, you know. And I'll tell you, when you don't fight your battle, when you're on the Lone Prairie, 1 in the morning without somebody videotaping, that's when you don't do it. Yes, boss, which way you want me sprawling, you know. So I'm telling you from experience, we've been doing, and whenever we do have a problem, we always get the Criminal Defense Services of Mark J. Victor.
That's right. And he appreciates it when we have videotape, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And he's like, you know, look, man, when you're on the Lone Prairie, that's not the time to be discussing constitutional law with these guys.
No.
You know, and make sure you got a videotape. So this is, we understand Second Amendment rights, and more than that, we understand the reasoning behind them creating the Second Amendment. Why is it the second? Why wasn't it the first?
That's a good question.
Has to defend the first.
The second protects the first.
The first was like, you know, we're gonna do a love. We're gonna have a love-illusion next time we need to do this, and when we can't, oh yeah. You know, we defend that ability to, you know, say the emperor has no clothes with this right over here, number two. And, you know, one thing, we had a German film crew came. I remember it was 98. And they came and they wanted to, you know, talk to all the militia around the country, going to, you know, Michigan and Montana and Tennessee and everything. And because I was on the list, they wanted to talk to me. They spent 5 days here. You know, they went to church, we went to the gun range, we went to picnics and friends, whatever I was doing for that 5 days, and we were building our restaurant, you know, at the time and so on. So I used to own a family pizza restaurant. Well, what happened was they just followed me around trying to, you know, but they never asked one question. At the end of it, after they get done taking all this video of us, you know, just being Americans and all that kind of stuff, at the end, finally, we knew they were, you know, covering for something. You know, they're just getting video. They'll turn it over to the NSA or something, whatever the heck they were going to do with it. And we go like this. We said, You never asked why. Oh, yeah, we're just going to get that. Get the camera out. We're going to go, nice try. You had your chance, you know. But the thing we knew is, you know, they never asked us why we did it. The question why never comes up because that's not what they're interested in. They don't care. They want to know who, when, how, where, everything but why. So I'm going,
well, that's because they just make up the why.
Yeah, well, we already know the why. We got written down over here. So you have to be careful. I'm telling you. You know, I have this one. See, I couldn't. I was trying to get some recordings off my phone before we had technical problems. But what one of the things was, there's a gentleman that calls and he says, where are your militia meetings? You know, where are you having? You know, who are your group? I want to join a group. I'm part of the Tea Party thing, and I need to. And I, you know, I'm going. Gee, I never heard these guys before, you know. So you we're always at bring them on in. You know, we federal agents put weights in the attic or something. Here, go paint these signs. You know, we don't care. We're so open about it. We're just, you know, everything that we do, we put up on Freedom's Phoenix anyway.
And the signs are all over town. I mean, it's easy to know what we do here. You just
you know,
look on the fence over there, and there's a no vaccine sign.
Yeah, we have ABC. Heck, we had Spanish, you know, Hispanic television here yesterday morning. You know, so we're just, and I know what they do. You know, you say, you know, blah, 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 and they dub over you. You know, Lord knows how they translate. I get some guys calling me, man, they said, did you say that? I don't think so. So the thing is that, you know, you're going to be infiltrated. And what is it that they're concerned about? I'll tell you, Southern Poverty Law Center, and we'll get Heidi Byrick up back on the show, because I've had her, I sent her off. You know, they were the ones that said, if you have a Chuck Baldwin bumper sticker, woo, we're going to get you. Ron Paul, they really got a lot of heat for that. Oh, and the girl that got the Missouri governors to pull that report, you know, Catherine Bach, or I think that's her name, she was at Jekyll Island, too, when I was there. She was arrested yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, because she was complaining they had some kind of court thing, you know, like, I don't know, traffic, whatever, that they had them this long line, they call them in, and they're out in the cold. They have to stand in line outside in this long line doing some court thing or something, and she was complaining and wouldn't shut up, so they arrested her. They let her out, but, you know, later, you gotta keep her for a day. You know, I'm going, no, it's on the front page of Freedom's Phoenix. But this is the girl. She's a young old redhead spitfire. And it's just like, what? Are you serious? Because of the bumper sticker? You're pulling people over? Oh, and she got him to pull it, made a big deal out of it nationally. But, you know,
so they had to give her mandatory 24 hours then.
Well, we get to 24 hours. Yeah, that's pretty much what it came down to. So when these things happen to a lot of, you know, people in the movement, the revolutionaries, what happens? It hits Twitter, it goes up on Facebook, it gets up on the internet, here's the phone number, and whatever little, you know, police department, their phones don't stop ringing. You know, and they get faxes and emails, and people start camping out front. I mean, it happens really fast. They're concerned. They want to instigate something. Whenever you have, like, the G20 thing, we had Sam Ataro come on from republicmedia.tv, and he goes, man, he goes, Ernie, and he's from Chicago. He goes, I'm from Chicago, man. I see some pretty bad stuff. He goes, I went down there. The police state is nigh. You know, I saw it. And you talk to these officers, who pays your salary? All you see is the badge of what state or something, you know, from Tennessee or something. And then they issue them all, they pull out the van and they got all the riot gear and they train them a little bit, do whatever. And they're just, we rule you.
Well, they had all this cool military stuff, too. Didn't they have, like, these sonic sound weapons?
You know, one thing that Sam said, he goes, LRAD, or they call it.
The infrared thing that microwaves your skin or something?
Yeah, they had a microwave emitter. I don't know if they didn't use that one, but they did the sonic one. And I go, well, he goes, yeah, I had to have my hands over my ears the whole time. You can't hardly stand it. And he goes, and I go,
what if you lived there?
Yeah, no, well, you know,
I mean, so.
Collateral
damage.
Does that work? And he goes, yeah. And I go, so I got to get the little, you know, shooting earplugs. I bring little spongies with me. I put them in my wallet. You know, all the teenagers got their prophylactic and their earplugs. I mean, in their wallet, I mean, you got to have protection, you know. So, I mean, you just add that to your activist kit. So they go, and he goes, yeah, that would have worked fine to get some. I'm going, seriously, is that it? So what's the counter for the microwave thing? Yeah, get a little parabolic, you know, satellite dish and put it back at them?
You got me hanging. I'm pretty technologically challenged.
Well, this is coming. Why? Because they want you to comply. And then what you find out is, I asked them, there's always these the instigators, the provocateurs, the anarchist guys, the young ones that go up and, you know, doinking them and kicking whatever. And then you start seeing pictures of them getting their jackboot, you know, on their throat down on the ground. And the guy on the ground and the guy with a boot on his throat wearing the same boots.
Well, that was the one in Miami or Seattle or whatever, right?
They're all the same. Yeah. You know, they need to instigate something. They're trying to. They want to. You think they don't want riots? You know, let's start a riot, says Homeland Security.
I guess it justifies the exorbitant budgets.
There is, we're in strange times, and there's two ways this thing can go, and this audience may be familiar with both of these books. There was one in 94, we got to see the original galley copies. I mean, this was coming, you know, John Ross was on my case because I didn't write him a blurb from SAFE. You know, Second Amendment is for everyone. You should read Unintended Consequences. Oh, yeah. And he was calling me, how come you didn't? I go, hey, man, all you had to do is ask. I would have endorsed the book. Heck, we were reading it before it was even printed. So we got the early copies of it, and then we bought them by the cases. And like I didn't, I go, man, we've been buying them by the cases. Why are you yelling at me? So I didn't understand. I was a young kid. I was in my 20s. I didn't know. You know, we got all this notoriety, and we didn't even know why. Thank you, Southern Poverty Law Center. So what happened was, in Unintended Consequences, they have the people rise up, okay? You know, individually, I got some bureaucrat agent, you know, de la, take my rights, livelihood, family, whatever, in front of me, and I'm dealing with this guy. You know, that's one way it can go. Then you have Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, which is kind of like, you know, all of this parasitic behavior, all of this dependency that we have on this government that's just draining us dry. This big giant parasite that's like become, you know, 10 times, 100 times bigger than the host, it can't keep feeding itself. And sooner or later, the productive people will just, you know, shrug it. You know, yeah. Atlas held up the world, just, you know, I'm done. I'm good.
I'm not holding you. Yeah, well, that's, you go Gandhi. You just refuse to participate, refuse to acknowledge, and just...
You're not allowed to not participate. You must join the Obamaist army of helping your neighbor or whatever.
The Obama youth.
Each according to their ability, to each according to their, we got a gun, we want it.
Yeah. Well, you know, that only works for a little while. I mean, that's what happened to the Soviet Empire. You know, you can force people to work at the point of a gun only so long, and then it doesn't work anymore.
You know, the thing is, with the Soviet Empire, the only debt that they had, I think, I didn't know what their debt was to them, to who. I mean, maybe there's foreign loans. I think they paid a bunch of them back. That's right, they did. They got a big, giant loan from the West, and then within like 3 or 4 years, they paid it back.
I mean, recently?
No, back when they, back in the 90s. I remember they made a big deal out of paying it back.
But the thing was driven by the collapse of the ruble, remember?
Yeah, but see, my point is that they didn't owe $70 trillion, you know,
no,
or $700 trillion. You know, they didn't have this, you know, Lord knows. I mean, they tell you our deficit, our debt is, you know, 10, 20. You know, it's 2, 3, 4, 10 billion times more than that.
Yeah.
So this is where we're at. The United States is in a lot bigger trouble, you know, and we're just going to have to repudiate. And that's what the Chinese know. They're going, yeah, no, we're done.
Repudiate or inflate, it doesn't matter, really.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You know, it's going to be, you know, that's the one thing we have, our children are, you know, they're married, you know, we have 4 kids, and 2 of them are married and having kids and so on, and now you get to be that grandpa thing, you look at things a little different, and I'm telling you, they're out trying to buy a home instead of rent, and I'm like, yeah, maybe it's better to rent.
Wait.
Yeah, it's going to keep going down. They go, yes, but, the prices are so low, they're enticing me. You got this $300,000 house they can get for $90,000, and the interest rate is low, and you got all these programs, and I want to get in. I go, yeah, in a year it's going to be worth 40.
They're just young. They don't remember that, you know, houses used to cost 40.
You know, so that I'm, but then, you know, what will happen? Inflation will hit. You know, will that drive it up again?
Yeah, it might,
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't know. You know, so what do you know? I know I don't know. I can tell you that. So we're in an interesting time. What do we need firearms for? I'll tell you, the issue of the Second Amendment is all about the relationship that you have with your government. Because the government is there to protect your rights. And when they become the greatest violator of them, then what? You know, the founders knew this. The Constitution is a decade after the Declaration. And I know there are more. They are sitting there going, we're going to collectivize. We're going to, you know, Adams and Hamilton. Well, you know, Judge Napolitano from Fox Online came to Tucson this last Saturday, and we put the speech that he gave up on Freedom's Phoenix, and he told the story. He goes, I'm going to give you a little history lesson. He goes, let me tell you. He goes, we had the people on one side that were, you know, against it, and we had on the other side Hamilton and Adams that wanted to give all this power to a central government and everything. And he's telling you, educating the people on a story a lot of us know. Patrick Henry, who is governor of Virginia, spent 4 hours legislature, don't ratify this Constitution. It's all about the power of eminent domain, the power to tax, the power to regulate commerce, the power of the, I might as well call it Communist Manifesto. It was the anti-federalists. It was the libertarians of the day. It was those that said, oh, heck no. And what did we get from that?
The Bill of Rights.
The Bill of Rights. You know, the 10 thou shalt nots of government. They go, yeah, that's great. Yeah, fine, whatever. But, you know, whatever, create the central government. Because they didn't care. You know, guess who gets to determine whether it's constitutional or not? Federal government.
Yeah.
You know?
And in time, they knew what would happen. The Hamiltonians would have their
yeah,
way.
They wanted their central bank.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Jackson comes in and says, no, I know what you did, you little scum. And it's like, what the Federal Reserve is, I think, our third reincarnation of the central bank.
It's the third. Yeah, that's right.
You know, and then that's about ready to go. So what are they going to do? We just go to the world, though. You're all worried about the, you know, the Amero. You know, suckers.
Well, the world,
we're skipping right over that one. We'll be right back here on 2A Radio, filling in for Bill Carnes is Ernest Hancock. We'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, we're back. This is 2A Radio. I'm Darren Weeks, filling in for Bill Carnes. It's amazing how fast an hour goes when you're used to doing a three-hour show. I normally host Govern America, which is heard on this network, Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. That's 7 to 10 Central. Encourage you to tune in, and maybe I'll cover some of this Saturday. But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's important to revisit some of these documents. I think it's important to understand why, selectively, we hear from the International Atomic Energy Agency, all these countries around the world demonized for having weapons to defend themselves. And we need to realize that we're talking about the sovereignty of these other countries, even as the sovereignty of our own country is undermined in many, many ways. I'm looking at a Reuters article right now about Interpol and the United Nations seek greater support for police role in peacekeeping missions. We have the United Nations and Interpol cooperating for policing internal countries, the internal policing of countries, listeners. This is Dateline Singapore, October 11th. Interpol and the United Nations have partnered to secure international commitments for greater support for the role of police in peacekeeping operations worldwide. The increased support is seen as a key element to restoring the rule of law in post-conflict zones, fragile states, and achieving sustainable peace. Secretary General Ronald Nobel described Interpol's partnership with the United Nations as an alliance of all nations that would commit Interpol to deliver international police expertise, more skilled police personnel, and frontline access to its global resources in countries suffering or recovering from conflicts in order to help them achieve and build peace and combat transnational crime. Keep in mind the words of Henry Kissinger as he was quoted at a Bilderberg conference. I believe it was 91. Today, people would be outraged if U.N. troops entered Los Angeles to restore order. Tomorrow, he said, they will be grateful. So areas of countries and entire countries can be made, in true Hegelian fashion, unstable as an excuse to come in and police through international means. And certainly, I'm afraid, that this is the plan for America as well. We have numerous crises being orchestrated around us. Pandemic flu is the latest one, but there's so many overlapping crises which are being manipulated for us that can cause instability in America. This is why firearms are so important to protect, because without them, we have no defense whatsoever. They say, at a meeting of more than 60 justice, interior, and foreign affairs ministers with senior law enforcement officers from around the world, UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon spoke via video of the need for greater respect for the rule of law in the world's most troubled parts, describing Interpol as a natural partner to restore stability following war and to address the challenges around the on the ground. Representing the UN at the meeting, Undersecretary General Alan LeRoy said that UN cooperation with Interpol had been reinforced by the recognition of a clear link between crime and conflict and the fact that serious and organized crime was prevalent in many conflict areas.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedom?
Anyway, we have to go. We're out of time. Pray for this republic. Do what you can to restore it. God bless you, folks. Join me Saturday, 8 to 11 Eastern Time on Govern America. Bye-bye.